but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. Now, presented by High Caliber Millwrights. In for John Canzano, here's Stephen Vaughn and Judah Newby with the bald-faced truth.
That's right, Stephen Vaughn, Judah Newby filling in for John Canzano, who is out at Camp Exceptional over at LaSalle High School, doing that summer camp thing for the BFT Foundation, doing great things. But we are less than 50 days away from college football starting in week zero, and I, for one, cannot wait, and that is why we are getting Pick Six Previews' Brett Ciancia. He has one of the best preview magazines out there. Head on over to Twitter, at Pick Six Previews on Twitter, picksixpreviews.com. Get his 2025 preview magazine on his site. Former Duck, Jeff Schwartz, he actually was tweeting out about his about the magazine today, about the preview. I was loving it. It's a great magazine. Brett does a really good job. So right now we got Brett Ciancia of Pick Six Previews on the line. Brett, how's it going, man? How you doing today?
Hey, well, thanks for having me on, and appreciate it. It's a really busy time for me. Just released the 2025 edition. Could not be more excited about the 2025 edition and the upcoming season. It's going to be a great one. Excited to break it all down with you here today.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of work now, especially with all the portal, all that kind of stuff, and you do a great job covering all of it. Let's just start with the Ducks here, because we've been talking about the Ducks already this show, about how nationally how they're viewed and all that kind of stuff. They go 13-0 last year. They win the Big Ten, but then just get absolutely thrashed against Ohio State in that Rose Bowl game. Right now for Oregon, we're looking at a win total 10.5 going into the season. There's some question marks, I think, in the defensive backfield, especially in my mind. But where do you think the Ducks are as of right now going into next season, and how do you think they're going to do here in 2025?
Yeah, well, last year's season really left behind a confusing legacy because they did go 13-0. They won their debut season of the Big Ten. And the last 100 years, that would have placed them into the Rose Bowl or a BCS national title game with just one win away from the national title. Instead, put them back into a 12-team bracket, and they had to do a rematch against Ohio State. So it's a different era. Fast forward to this year, I think it's a bit of a transition year. So many starters gone to the pros. But I do all 68 Power 5 teams. I go position by position. And I was blown away by the amount of talent that has been stockpiled at Oregon. My hat's off to Dan Lanning and that staff. If you did it per player last year, they're number one in the high school class rankings and number one in the transfer portal. So really high caliber of player coming in. But here's the catch. It's so young and so new for this year. Oregon's my pick to win the national title in 2026, next year. I think it's going to be a little bit of a 10-2. Growth season for them here before next year, really coming into the season as one of the preseason favorites to win it all.
You look at Oregon right now. They go from Bo Nix, Dylan Gabriel, now Dante Moore. I think that's another question mark. Where do you fall on Dante Moore this season? Because you talk about the talent. You talk about a high school and the transfer portal. Dante Moore has all the talent in the world. And I think if you talk to recruiting people, they absolutely love him because he's one of the top prospects. You talk to college football people, they're kind of so-and-so on him because of the UCLA season. What do you expect out of Dante Moore this year, and then what's your thoughts on him?
Yeah, well, I think in general, I think when you're a five-star quarterback, you really will have earned that rating. I think that each year by year, the recruiting services get better and better at this, at player evaluation, especially really, really strong at the quarterback position. I mean, they know who the best guys are coming in. And I think it's crazy to try and knock Dante Moore for his UCLA stint. He was a true freshman there. I mean, that is, and it was kind of a broken offense. So I don't buy that. I think that was ahead of schedule reps. That was all just adding to his arsenal. I think you're going to see a more refined and just more experienced guy this year. Plus, he's got a perfect team around him. I mean, the offensive line is always strong at Oregon. So many athletes to throw to. He's got Mekhi Hughes in the backfield, one of the top running backs. So he's in a much better environment than he was at UCLA that part of that season. But yeah, you talk to people in the recruiting world, this was a mega recruit, not just a five-star, but like a number one overall kind of guy. So They don't usually miss like that. So I think he's going to be really solid. Might need a half a season to really get up to speed as a starter. But and here's the thing with Oregon. In the old days, maybe a 10-2 season knocks them out and they're playing in the Citrus Bowl or something. But here in this new bracket, 10-2, you're in there as an at-large. And a young team like this Oregon team could really grow up in November, December, January, and round into a machine come playoff time. So this team is definitely a national title contender. It's just a matter of how quickly they gel and grow up together.
Brett, you're talking about these really good teams, and every team in college football these days is going to go through some type of roster attrition one way or the other with the portal or getting guys to the league or what have you. You mentioned Mekhi Hughes. You know, what kind of player is he like, and are you expecting from him? And what are some other, I guess, newer names that as you do your deeper dive on Oregon and these other teams, but especially the Ducks, that fans are going to be like, oh, this guy, this is a really good player that may not have been those kind of players for Oregon last year?
Yeah, well, starting with Hughes, you're getting an all-AAC player there. This is a good program at Tulane, and he was able to start as a true freshman and a true sophomore, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Really great after contact, too, kind of like Ashton Gentry, where breaking tackles left and right. So I think he forms a nice starting piece right there to build around a running back. Other guys I found in my research, Dakarian Moore, the true freshman five-star. It looks electric from spring ball and from spring practices in the spring game. He's going to have to step up big time, especially with some injury concerns elsewhere in the receiver room. So I think he's going to start right away as a true freshman and push for all Big Ten honors right away. That's how good he is. At tight end, Kenyon Sadiq, really impressed. He's the next man up there. And Coach Will Stein, he says he wants to get him 80 touches this fall. So going to be a big part of the offense. And then lastly, on defense, they plucked a couple starters off of Big Ten teams. Dylan Thineman from Purdue, he was all Big Ten. I think he was an all true freshman a couple years back. He was really a playmaker at safety. So I said it earlier, but if you go per player, per average, they were the number one transfer haul in the country. So it's just a high caliber of player coming in here this year.
And you talk about Thineman at Purdue. Like, you know, Purdue was so bad. To get anybody out of there to be not productive, it's great. And for Oregon to get that, a great pickup, you talk about that. Brett Sciancia, Pick 6 previews right here on the Ball of Face Truth with John Canzano. Stephen Vaughn, Judy Newby filling in for John Canzano. Head over to Pick 6 Previews on Twitter or pick6previews.com to get the preview magazine from Brett Sciancia. Now, Brett, I want to ask you, you mentioned Oregon. You actually already said you're picking them for the 2026 national title, and you think they might go 10-2 this season. Well, if they go 10-2, they're not losing a game in the non-conference. They're not losing to Oklahoma State or Montana State or Oregon State. So you think two losses in the Big Ten. Who do you think is going to get to the Big Ten title game then? Because two losses I don't think makes it there. Who do you think is coming out of the Big Ten this season and going to meet up in that championship game?
Yeah, well, this year I've got Penn State as my pick to win the Big Ten. They're my number one team coming into the season. It's a very veteran team, and what happened was they were a few throws away from playing in the national title last year. And then what happened in January, all these guys that could have gone pro, one by one, they're back, deciding to do one final year at Penn State. Starts with a first-round draft grade, Drew Aller. I know he struggled in the playoff game, but the rest of his season was solid. Two five-star running backs behind him, four all Big Ten linemen in front of him. There's a lot to like from Penn State. And the kicker there is that I think they have two of the best coordinators in all of college football with Coach Lonecki running the offense, and then they plucked Jim Knowles over from Ohio State, who just won a national title. So the brain power, the star power, it's all there at Penn State this year. They're veteran, and they're catching Ohio State and Oregon in a little bit of transition seasons. They're going to be younger teams, very talented but new and young. So I have Penn State winning the league. I have them playing Ohio State. Ohio State's my number two, and then Oregon close behind them at three. I see a huge gap after those three. Those are your real three competitors. After that, it falls way off to USC and Michigan and Nebraska, Washington, those other teams. So that's definitely a top three, and I think all three are headed to the playoff regardless.
Can we dig into Penn State a little bit more here? Because you're not the only one. I think a lot of people have Penn State as number one in their power rankings heading into the season, but you talked about Drew Aller and his struggles that he had in the playoff. 0-8 against Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon the last three seasons from James Franklin. They lose Tyler Warren, the do-it-all tight end. I feel like I'm out in left field here, but I don't see. I know they bring back Nick Singleton, Katron Allen at running back, but but I don't trust Drew Aller. I don't trust James Franklin. Do you think that they can get over that type of thing because of the schedule? Because they play Oregon in week five, where Oregon's still going to be very inexperienced. Sell me a little more on Penn State, Kenny, because I'm trying to get behind them, Brett. I don't know that I can get behind them quite yet because I just don't trust the quarterback-coach combination.
Absolutely. Well, I think one of the limitations for Penn State last year, and we saw it against Notre Dame, limitations on the roster was at receiver. These guys couldn't really get open last year. I think against Notre Dame, the receivers had zero catches. It was all through the tight ends and running backs. So that room needed to be fixed, and they went out and did exactly that. They poached USC's best receiver, Kyron Hudson. They poached Syracuse's all-ACC guy in the slot, Pena, and then also a four-star transfer from Troy. Not to mention a couple four- and five-star guys that they had recruited through the years that are coming up the ranks. So I think now you have a lot more help at receiver. That's going to make Aller look a lot better. I think we take for granted these guys were not helping him out at all at receiver. He has a first-round grade for something. I mean, I think he's earned that. He has a big arm, and these guys will help him out at receiver. Offensive line was a big part of it for me. They bring back four guys that got all Big Ten consideration. It's going to be one of the best units in the country again. The running backs certainly help. They're both going to be chasing the all-time Penn State rushing record together. And then really it's defense. They've been solid the last couple years. And when I say solid, I'm talking top five every year on defense. So my advanced stats, love them. Returning starters everywhere. Really what put me over the top was the coordinators. And I know that James Franklin is a question mark himself. But when you have these two coordinators, Kotanecki and Knowles, I really trust those guys to bring it home. So there's just less question marks here than they are at younger teams this year like Ohio State and Oregon. And you're right about the timing of that. Penn State is lucky to catch Oregon early in the year. I think the September Oregon is going to look a lot different than the November-December Oregon. So they are catching them early, and it's in a whiteout environment, which I think is one of the hardest places to play in all of college football. So, that's where I landed on Penn State.
You mentioned something there, Brett, that always fascinates me, and it's that coordinator index, or what kind of, you know, jump can you get from a good coordinator, especially in college football these days, where if it's a coordinator that's not like traditionally like your all-out recruiter. And I'm thinking of what Chip Kelly did for Ohio State last year, where he's, you know, good friends with Ryan Day. Ryan seeds play calling to Chip. Chip's not an out-and-out recruiter. He's there to call plays and win ball games. And what they do, they went out, and especially the second half of the season, caught fire and couldn't be stopped. And Oregon knows all about that. Mm-hmm. And you know, they won a bunch of ball games. You mentioned that Jim Knowles acquisition in Penn State. Do you think that could be the coordinator hire of the offseason? And if it's not Jim, or if there's another one on your mind, who else could be the difference-making, you know, coordinators in 2025, you think?
Yeah, I think that might just be the one because Jim Knowles, he took over a very average Ohio State defense and then 2 years later turned them into the number one unit in the country, brought home the national title. And he left there. He's heading back to his home state. He's a Pennsylvanian. He's going to go try and recreate, make a national title run at Penn State. I think that might be the difference. Also looked at Notre Dame's coordinator hire of Chris Ash. Urban Meyer calls that the coordinator hire of the whole cycle, taking over for Al Golden on defense. At lower tier programs right now, Tony White at Florida State, I think, was a great hire defensive coordinator-wise. They had to fix that that unit after a terrible 2-10 season. They also brought Gus Malzahn in. That's your Chip Kelly of this year, where it was a former head coach stepping down to be a coordinator and just do X's and O's. I mean, Malzahn can do it. So Florida State had a great double coordinator switch. But and in Oregon, it wasn't a hire, but I really am impressed with Will Stein, the way that he's been able to turn out a couple top-five offenses. We're going to learn a lot about him and the staff, though, because the last couple cycles, it's been very, very veteran quarterbacks with Bo Nix and Dylan Gabriel. I think they both set some kind of career records for most games played. Now you're flipping it over to some youngsters. We talked about Dante Moore, Luke Moga also in there and some run packages. So I'm really fascinated to see with a younger quarterback how he can develop and cater the system to him. So, but so far, so good for Oregon staff.
Last year, Brett, in the new college football playoff, Indiana came out of nowhere, made the college football playoff. I mean, the odds on them to make it were outrageous during the preseason. And the books have kind of adjusted to that. Like, they will no longer get caught with their pants down on something like that with Indiana with a new coach and the easy schedule. But is there a team, you know, that's off the radar that you're looking at that you think, okay, maybe if we're at the end of the year, I wouldn't be surprised if this team is in the college football playoff and making some noise.
Yeah, well, I think the most wide-open path to the playoff has to be this Big 12. It is probably the most wide-open conference I've ever covered. I've been doing Pick 6 previews for 14 seasons. I've never seen anything like it. They just had their Big 12 media days, and the coaches did a poll. They picked Kansas State versus Iowa State, right? And neither of those two, they're not even in my top five in the Big 12. That's how deep this thing is.
Wow.
I got them like sixth and seventh. So if you're looking for a wild card team, I think it's going to have to come out of this Big 12. Take a look at Texas Tech. They went out and just dominated the transfer portal. They brought in 13 four-star athletes. That's more than the rest of the league combined signed. So Texas Tech had a huge talent infusion there. TCU also being slept on nationally. I've got them in my top 25. A great offense. Josh Hoover, one of the best quarterbacks in the country. No one's talking about it. A lot of receiver talent. Defense is veteran. So teams like that, they're going to come out of the Big 12 as wild cards. I think that's the best path to the playoff. You can catch those guys at like 8-1 odds, I think TCU, or 7-1 for Texas Tech. So some pretty good value out in the Big 12.
Yeah, I'm looking right now here on Bet Online, TCU plus 70-75 to make the playoff. Just saying, just throwing that out there. And of course, you know, Texas Tech, they got Oregon State later on this in week three, so we'll be able to see them as Oregon State takes on them. What's your take on USC this year? You know, Lincoln Riley getting a lot of hype because of the recruiting class. They bring back Jaden Mayava as well. I hear a lot of pundits saying that this is a, we talk about a surprise team make the playoff. USC might be that team. What was their you know, their transfer portal like? What did they bring in? What are some of the players that you're looking at USC? And do you think that they can make any type of run in a loaded Big Ten?
Yeah, well, I talked about my top three in the Big Ten being Penn State, Ohio State, Oregon. But in this race for fourth place, I actually picked USC. I think that they were a lot better than the record last year. They lost 5 one-score games, and I think they had leads in most of them. It's just a matter of finishing them off now. Getting a second-year bonus on defense from coordinator Danton Lynn, I think they're going to improve there. Always stockpiled at the skill positions with 5 stars, you know that. But what stands out with USC, they get a little bit of a schedule boost this year. Yes, they play Oregon, but they avoid Ohio State and Penn State. They avoid Washington and avoid Indiana, some of these other teams that are ranked higher within the league. So here's the key to USC season, if they beat Notre Dame or not. And it goes two ways. Not only does that boost their resume and maybe avoid a third loss, but that might actually knock out Notre Dame from the other at-large spot. So look at USC versus Notre Dame as a potential play-in game for the playoff, if you will, because USC and Notre Dame, they're both going to be shooting for that last at-large spot. So, but yeah, I think they're definitely a top 20 team. I think I have them 15th in my book coming in. And, you know, if you're ranked 15th, that means you're right on the bubble for the playoff.
Interesting there. We're talking to Brett Cianci at Pick 6 Preview right here. Head over to pick6preview.com, purchase his preview magazine. The most right on, most consistent, I guess. I can't think of what you said it was, but the last 10 seasons. Most accurate. There it is. Most accurate for the last 10 seasons. Great preview magazine right there. We've been talking about earlier last week the SEC versus the Big Ten. We talked about it a little bit today as well earlier in the show. Has the Big Ten caught the SEC? In your mind, when you're previewing these type of conferences, are we looking at the SEC kind of giving down their reins? You know, they've been the king of the mountain for so long. Has the Big Ten caught up to them, and are they a better conference than the SEC, or has it just been a little blip on the radar the last two seasons getting a Big Ten champion?
That's a great question, and I do look at this, and I think the last couple of years, ever since the big TV markets really separated these two, it definitely has become a Big Two. With the Big Ten and the SEC, they have all the money. They're signing the best coaches. They're signing the best players. And I think you see that even heightened within the SEC in terms of recruiting rankings. And it's output to the NFL, too. You watch any NFL draft the last 25 years, the SEC has the most picks. So that hasn't changed. But I think what has changed a little bit is the top of the Big Ten has strengthened, where you have these super programs like Ohio State and Oregon and Penn State. They can challenge the super tier teams of the SEC, the Bama, Georgia, Texas. Where I think the SEC might have an edge is numbers 4 through 11. You know, like that middle to upper tier of their league, I think, is still stronger than that of the Big Ten. If you look at my preseason top 25, I think there's 10 SEC teams or 11 SEC teams to just 6 of the Big Ten. So maybe at the top they're equals now, but I think depth-wise, I think I still go SEC.
You say you've been doing this for 14-plus seasons. I can't imagine you know, in that time, I would say, oh, like, that's the modern era of college football. But at the same time, Brett, it feels like college football has gone through, like, five different eras in the last 10 years.
Oh, my gosh.
So how has your process changed and modified over, you know, 14 years of doing this?
Yeah, well, flashback to 2012, where that was before a playoff. That was, we still had the Pac-10. We still had the Big East. It was really the college football that I grew up with and a lot of, you know, everyone grew up with. It has changed so much, not only the conference realignment, the playoff expansion, the transfer portal and all the player movement, the big coordinator salaries, you have a coordinator carousel heightened. It's just crazy. So how the process has changed, it used to be simpler, honestly, back then. It was just you look at returning starters and then who went early to the pros, and that was it. Now you have to look at every transfer, and I do this. That's why it takes all year to make this book. Every transfer, where they came from, how they do there, why do they leave? Is it a step up? Is it a step down? It's just crazy the amount of research that goes in. But I think that's also what brings the value. So I encourage you, go check it out, pick6previews.com. I have some sample teams up there, some testimonials. Just got one in from Scott Van Pelt. That was pretty cool. It's really making the rounds. So I encourage you, go check it out. And really, it's a good tool because if you're not following it every day, you might lose track of who's on your team. You know, it used to be you'd get it to scout your opponents. But now you got to catch up on your own roster because all these guys transfer so much. So this will catch you up before kickoff. I'm pretty confident in that, and also give you a good light read. No acronyms, no formulas, and all that stuff. It's well written and it's got narrative. So go check it out.
That's awesome, Brett. To get that from SCP, he's awesome. But you do a great job over at Pick 6 Preview, as you said, at Pick 6 Previews on Twitter, pick6previews.com. Go get that preview magazine from Brett Ciancia, owner of Pick 6 Previews. Brett, thank you for joining the show and providing us with so much content right here. We really appreciate it. We'll have to get back on.
Yeah, thanks. Anytime. Appreciate it.
Brett Ciancia, owner of Pick 6 Previews right there. How about that, Duck fans? 2026, he's already picked Oregon to win a national championship. You gotta wait one more year. You gotta wait one more year, Judah, but you know what? He's already picking Oregon to win that national championship. He is high on the Ducks for next season. Not necessarily super high this season, but next season. I did like that. Thanks to Brett for coming on. Coming up next, we're going to take a break here, and we will hit it up with some Punch It audio later on in the show. Beaver fans, don't worry. We did not forget about you. Jake Hedberg, Beaver Blitz, he'll be joining us in the 5 o'clock hour, talking all things Oregon State, hitting up some football previews with him, some baseball stuff. Oregon State had a big draft for the Major League Baseball draft over the weekend, and today we'll talk with Jake Hedberg. We got Punch It audio and much more here on the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano, Stephen Vaughn Jr. will be filling in for John right here on the BFT Radio Network.